planetaudio.org.nz. planetaudio.org.nz.
Before I start the program, I would like to offer a formal apology. And this is a statement of apology to last week's episode of Alive, which was a repeat of an earlier program. And there was a discussion around the COVID-19 vaccine. The station found aspects of the discussion to be misleading in that they implied the vaccine contained aborted fetal cells. This is not the case for the Pfizer vaccine, which is what is currently available in New Zealand. There is nothing wrong with asking questions about the vaccine, and we encourage you to make an informed decision. Healthline has verified information above on all aspects of the COVID vaccine, and you can call them for free on 0800 358 5453. I apologise unreservedly for the misleading nature of my original broadcast. So thank you very much for tuning in today, and I hope that you accept that apology. Now, today I would like to look at another one of Our Lady's apparitions, which the anniversary was on Sunday, the 19th of September. Now, this is a very, very famous and important apparition, Our Lady of La Salette, and she appeared to two young children who were looking after their cows high up in the Alps of La Salette, which is in the southern eastern part of France, near Nice. Now, the two young children were Melanie, and she was age 14, and Maximum, and he was aged 11. Very interestingly, the children had only met the day before, and Melanie was a little bit of a recluse. She had been hired out by her family from the age of 8 to do chores and that for people around, and she had been looking after cows in the mountains for years, and she just liked her own company. So she wasn't too happy the day before when this young boy, Maximum, wanted to come up and join her, and he talked a lot, and she found him a bit irritating. But after a while, she actually started to enjoy his company, and so they agreed to meet up the following day on the 19th of September. So on this particular day, they had gone up the mountain, and at the Angelus bell at 12 o'clock, everyone prayed the Angelus, and this was just a Catholic tradition all around the world, and people, of course, still do it today. But the children weren't particularly religious. They didn't say their prayers or anything, so for them, it was simply a sign. It was time to eat lunch. So they sat down, had their lunch, and after that, they were tired, and so they fell asleep. Now, when they woke up, Melanie first, she was very startled because the cows had wandered off. And, of course, there were a lot of ravines in these Alps, and she was horrified. So she woke Maximum up, and they started looking for the cows. And they got to the edge of a ravine, and they saw the cows below, very happy, and that was okay. But they were very, very startled to see this incredibly bright light in the shape of a globe moving towards them, and they were very, very frightened. Suddenly, the globe parted as if a curtain, and inside the globe, there was a beautiful woman weeping bitterly, and she was seated. She had her head in her hands, and she was inconsolable. Gradually, the light disappeared, and the lady was sitting on a rock. And then she stood up and approached the two children. Now, they were very, very alarmed, and Maximum actually had his stick, which he used to gather the cows, and he said to Melanie, you know, don't worry, if it's evil, I will beat it with my stick. But, of course, it wasn't. It was Our Lady. And the first thing she said was, do not be afraid. Now, this is something that Our Lady has always said when she appears to people, the very first thing, because, of course, they have never seen an apparition before. They don't know what they're seeing. And obviously very, very alarmed. Our Lady said that to Juan Diego and Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico in 1531, and she also said it to the three children in Fatima in 1917. So just before I go on about what Our Lady said to the children, I want to tell you a little bit about them. Now, Melanie was from a very poor family. She was uneducated, totally uneducated. And when she was about three, her father used to go away a lot for work. And her mother, Julie, didn't like being a mother particularly. And Melanie had older brothers. And so when she was three, Julie said, "Get out of this house, you she-wolf. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore." And she cast the child out the door. So at 3 years of age, Melanie went into the woods. And she stayed there for some time. And she said that her brother came to look after her. But it wasn't her natural brother. It was actually Jesus who came and looked after her and who fed her and actually taught her a lot of things about her faith. And when her father came home and he couldn't find her anywhere, just at that very moment, she came out of the woods and she said it was all right. Her brother was taking care of her. So this continued. She was very badly treated. And at the age of eight, she was sent out and hired out to other people, which is incredible if you think of young children today leaving their home and having to work virtually for nothing as a slave servant for other people. Now, on one occasion, the master of the house had very evil intents on her, and he said to her to get into his bed. Well, Melanie thought this wasn't a good idea, and she said no, but he got very angry. And at the very moment, she found herself outside the house in the barn. So she had bilocated and been transported into the barn for her safety. So she had a lot of suffering in her life, and she is, in fact, the youngest stigmatist in the Catholic Church, which isn't widely known. And a stigmatist, of course, is a person who bears the wounds of Christ. Now, we had yesterday the feast of St. Padre Pio, and he was or is the only priest in the Catholic Church who also had the wounds of Christ. Now, a lady gave both of the children a secret, and they didn't hear each other. And Melanie's was published on the 15th of November in 1879 in Lis with the imprimatur of Bishop Zola, a very controversial secret, and she was greatly maligned by many people in the church because they just didn't want to hear what she had to say. Now, Maximin came from a very poor family too. He was uneducated, lived a lot on the streets, you might say. His father was an alcoholic, and after the apparition didn't believe a word until Maximin repeated a discussion Our Lady had and reminded him of a conversation that Maximin and his father had had the previous year. From that point on, the father believed completely. He reconverted to the faith, stopped being an alcoholic, and was a devout Catholic. So a little bit more about the times. Now, the times, of course, you had the Reformation, and you had Luther and Calvin, and of course, Calvin was French. His real name was Jean Cuvier. You had the wars of religion, which left a moral vacuum in Europe. You had the encyclopedias, the rationalists, the ideas of Voltaire and Rousseau, and which was the seeds of early communism. And this is the background. In 1830 at Rue de Bac, Our Lady told St. Catherine Laboure that the times are evil. So the 19th was the eve of Ember Sunday, which all over the world people were fasting to ask God to bless the harvest. Now, they enjoyed each other's company. As I said, the Angelus, they fell asleep and woke, and Our Lady was weeping. Now, she was dressed in white, On her head, she had a wreath of roses. She was wearing a local costume, and around her neck, she had a cross, and either side was a hammer on one side and a pincher on the other. Probably a very early reference to communism. And the light was greater than the sun. And she said to the children, "If my people will not subject or submit themselves, I shall be obliged to let my son's hand, which is so strong and so heavy that I cannot resist it or restrain it, and I will have to let it fall." And she said, "So long have I prayed and suffered for you, if only you knew." And why was she suffering, and why was Jesus's hand held up as if to strike? God gave you 6 days to labor and 1 day to rest. But people did not go to Mass on Sunday, only the old woman. And people everywhere were blaspheming and using the name of Christ as a swear word. As these were the two things which could have brought damnation on the whole of the world. And Our Lady said, "You only have yourselves to blame if the harvest is spoiled. I warned you last year about the potatoes, and if you don't listen, they will go on rotting." Now, she spoke in French and then the local dialect. "There will be a great famine, the grapes will rot, and if people are not converted, children under the age of 7 would get a great illness. But if people prayed and converted, the very rocks and stones would turn into grain." Our Lady reminded Maximum of the previous year's conversation with his father, where they had seen the wheat crumble into dust. Our Lady spoke to each of the children with a secret message, and then she looked to Rome with great sadness. Then she turned to the east and glided over the grass before ascending into heaven. Now, at that very moment, there was an old dry spring, and it gushed into life. Now, the children went home. They were a bit late getting home, so the families were concerned, and they told the family. So the following morning, both families took the children to the local priest. Now, he believed instantly, and he preached about it in his sermon. Now, just a year later on the anniversary, 50,000 people went up to Lasalet in the hills, and it's very, very difficult to get to. My son has actually been there, and if you saw the photographs, you would understand. Now, from the very first days, that miraculous spring, there were cures from people all over the area. So, of course, the fame spread very, very quickly. So, what is the message of Lasalet? Well, in 1947, Cardinal Holland of Poland said, this was basically the message, "Unless you do penance, you shall all perish." Now, that is a rather frightening statement, but given what Our Lady said, and I will actually take a whole program to go into what the message was, because it is so in-depth and rather incredible. But just to give you a little bit about what really did happen at the time, so the warnings of the Queen of Prophets of a famine as punishment for the rebellious people was fulfilled. She spoke of a potato famine, which had already begun, and it spread quickly to Ireland. And in the winter of 1846, the potatoes turned bad with the universal infiltrating stench. So in the peasantry, still more of their social superiors, they believed that they were confronted with no ordinary trouble, but with a visitation from on high, a scourge to punish the sins of the people. It was estimated that 1 million people died of famine in Ireland alone. And on the eve of the Annunciation, the following year, March 24th, 1847, Queen Victoria, as a day of, asked for that day to be a day of general fast and humiliation before Almighty God in order to obtain pardon for our sins and that we may, in the most devout and solemn manner, send up our prayers to the Divine Majesty for the removal of those heavy judgments upon us, which our manifold sins have justly deserved, and with which Almighty God is pleased to visit the iniquities of this land by a grievous scarcity and dearth of diverse articles of sustenance and necessities of life. Now, 200,000 people in Scotland had to be fed by the state. Nearly a fifth of Belgium was on charity. There were food riots in France. 72,000 people died of starvation in France alone in 1854, and 80,000 the following year. The grain harvest was so bad, as Our Lady had warned, and her warning also came true for the children. There was a great epidemic that broke out in 1849, and throughout Europe, the number was 750,000 people, or children, I should say. So Our Lady did wait to see if we, or the people of the time, turned back and made reparation for their sins, but unfortunately, human nature doesn't do it easily, and unless we get down on our knees, basically we're sackcloth and ashes. Things have to get really, really bad before they do that, and I think that's one of the messages that we can take from these times, that things are bad all around the world, and they seem to be getting worse, and we really do need to get down on our knees and ask for forgiveness. Now, we've just gone past 3 o'clock, which is Divine Mercy Hour, and this is when we offer up some shortened version of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So this was a prayer given by Saint Faustina by our Lord, and it's a wonderful prayer to say when somebody is dying, and our Lord has promised that he would stand between the dying person and the just judge as a merciful saviour. You don't have to be a Catholic to pray this prayer, but you can listen along with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fabulous organization based in Auckland, but they have people all over New Zealand. And so you can get in touch with Family Life International. So you can go online and have a look. They have an 0800 number, and you can also text them. I don't have them in front of me at the moment. I'm very, very sorry about that. But Family Life International, they even run a home for pregnant mothers and mothers who have just had their babies, Gianna's Home, St. Gianna's Home. And that is wonderful, and there are mothers there staying at the moment. So don't forget, if you are pregnant and worried and you're not sure what to do, there is a friendly voice on the end of the phone, and they will help you look at a plan that will benefit you and your unborn baby. So give them look online, and then you can give them a ring. Okay, so what were some of the messages of Our Lady of La Salette? Well, they were pretty catastrophic. If you heard Cardinal Holland in Poland in 1947 said that basically, unless you all repent, you shall all perish. Pretty drastic words. So one of the things Our Lady said that, now remember this is 1846, and she said that in 1864, the devils will be loosed from hell. So who were these devils? Interestingly, as I said, throughout this time, the seeds of communism were bubbling below the surface, and Marx and Engels were working away. Marx was working on the Communist Manifesto, and Marx did say that communism had been born out of secret societies. So who were these secret societies? And what happened in 1864? Well, very interestingly, in 1864, in London, it was the first meeting of the Internationale of the Communists, and it was held in London. So were these the devils loosed from hell? Well, you can't call people devils, of course, but it was certainly the basis of communism is that there is no God, that definitely based on evolution. And if you tie this all up, in 1859, you had Darwin's Origin of Species, and of course that was used for the molecules to man theory. So if you could believe that, then of course there was no need for a creator God. And up until that point, all Christians, certainly all Catholics, people believed in creation. So after that, there was no need to believe in creation because you had a molecules to man theory, which certainly took hold very quickly, and that was the theory that communism is based upon. And Darwin himself admitted that he never saw one species evolve into another. He merely saw differences within a species. Now, that is something quite different. And even at the end of his life, you know, he said, I have never disbelieved in God and creation, because that has been, or that argument has been settled a very, very long time ago. And he was quite upset that his theory had been used by people for other means other than what he had intended. So he was not happy with the way that his theory had been taken and used around the world. And really has formed the basis of the eugenic movement